This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasuthi. It is World Heart Day today. And while the human heart cannot repair themselves after they're damaged, for an example, after a heart attack, the hearts of other species seem to be able to. Fish, for instance, can regenerate cardiac muscle. Dead heart tissue leaves scar tissue that interrupts the normal muscle actions to pump the heart efficiently. Inspired by this, a team of researchers led by Stanford University's Professor Dr. Pilar Ruiz Lozano decided to test these species' heart cells and determine which compounds stimulate the healing. Also with us, Professor Mark Mercola, who will shed more light on this research. Welcome to the show, both of you. How are you today?
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Likewise, pleasure to be here.
Professor, what are the gaps or major concerns in present heart attack treatments that your research tries to address, Professor Pilar?
Well, as you said it very nicely, the human heart, and in general the mammalian heart, in the adult form, cannot regenerate after having an injury. So the current medicines works on trying to preserve the tissue that is left after the attack. But the scar that results of a heart attack can not be healed with the current treatment. So we were trying to develop a strategy that would enhance the internal ability to heal. And that was the approach that we follow. It was based on the idea that was observed in the fish that the epicardium, which is the outer layer of the heart, has a fundamental role in helping the heart to heal.
Professor Mark, your laboratory was critical in identifying this protein that stimulated cardiac muscle cell division. How was the discovery made?
So over the years, we've been developing automated high-throughput robotic-type assays for different aspects of heart function and even for heart regeneration. So based on the, as what Pilar was saying, based on her idea that there should be some molecules in the heart, the natural molecules that stimulate regeneration, we first took the cells themselves that were thought to be beneficial, and we showed that they would stimulate cardiomyocytes, or the heart muscle cells, to replicate. You know, that they would actually start proliferating. Mm-hmm. And so then, based on that, we were able to identify the molecule made by these heart cells that stimulated the muscle cells to replicate.
And this was done on animals or, you know, what was the process like?
No, it was originally done in cell culture, where we use heart muscle cells that we create from stem cells.
Okay.
So it's possible now to take stem cells from any individual and create heart muscle cells from those cells, and that's what we used.
Professor Pilar, your team was responsible for embedding the protein in a tiny patch and applying it to the surface of animal hearts that had underwent an artificially created heart attack. How does the patch actually work? And what's the mechanism behind it?
A previous study, only in rodents, demonstrated at that study that we published a few years ago that the patch itself, since it was generated by trying to mimic the mechanical properties of the epicardium, the patch itself has an initial role of protecting the morphology of the heart. So only the patch alone, without the biologics, without the protein, when it is implanted on top of a heart that has suffered an injury, it has an initial role of preventing the heart from standing. So kind of, there are many aspects of the biophysics of the heart that we are still not aware. But this initial preservation of the remodeling seemed to help the signaling properties of the protein. So it's an initial phase in which mechanically protect the heart from further degenerating.
That's amazing. What is the procedure involved in stitching this patch onto the heart? And is this patch the protein patch?
It's a patch that is contains a protein.
Okay, and how does
the patch itself is made out of proteins, and it's compressed, as Pilar had said, so that it has the mechanical properties of normal tissue, and it can be sutured by a surgeon onto the surface of the heart over the region that's damaged by heart attack.
Yes.
So it's basically physically sitting on top of the heart.
And this is only after a heart attack. Can it be used as a preventive measure?
In principle, you could think about it like that, but since it's invasive and a very invasive procedure to do it, no one would want to undergo an open chest operation to put something like this on. And we don't think that it would be something that would be used prophylactically.
How much of the function is actually restored after the delivery of this protein to the heart cells?
So what we have observed is that about 90% of the function is restored.
Wow, that's very, very convincing.
Yeah. Yes, it's been an amazing surprise even for us, because until now nothing had really... But I'd like to caution, these are animal models, and we still need a lot. We need to establish what would be the best therapeutic for the clinical setting.
How long does it take for the results to show, Professor Mark?
The heart itself, we start to see an effect after a few weeks. But to achieve the restoration of the pumping function of the heart takes a couple of months to occur. And that's because it takes that much time to develop the new muscle cells.
Your team plans to test the patch in human clinical trials as early as 2017. I mean, what are you looking to study in these trials?
Well, there is going to be done stepwise. First, we need to see what is the exact procedures that the regulatory authorities would like to see. So it would be very similar to what we have done already using large animals. But the exact details, it's a bit too early to disclose.
Right. But in any event, the initial human trials are simply to gauge the safety of the device. And then if safety is not an issue in humans, then we would advance to larger studies that would test the efficacy.
Do you have
concerns? So this is the regular procedure that any new treatment follows.
Professor Mark, are you enthusiastic? Do you think the human body will be able to accept this patch?
Oh, yes, I'm quite optimistic that will be the case. Given that it has worked in two animal species thus far, and it's also worked on cells cultured in the laboratory. So I think that this is something that can be extended to humans. As Pilar was saying earlier, it has to go through the usual sorts of regulatory steps and still some development to learn exactly how we would implement this in the clinical setting. But I think we're both very optimistic that it's going to work out.
How will this technology change the quality of life or even life expectancies of heart attack survivors?
Quite a lot. I mean, currently, if someone has a heart attack, they all too frequently, well, people will survive the initial injury, but then make a transition to failure. And this might help. The hope is that this would help prevent that transition into heart failure. Because once you're in heart failure, your quality of life declines dramatically, and your survival is limited, often to only about 5 or 6 years.
It is World Heart Day today. Professor Pilar, would you have a message?
Well, I would like to take the opportunity to underscore the importance of a lifestyle. The current life give us to take decisions that tremendously affect our hearts. So we are here to provide a higher expectancy of life and mostly a better quality of life. But we all have to do our small homework and try to have a life as healthy as possible. This is what I'd like to use this opportunity to provide this message.
Professor Mark?
I agree with that. I think, like ever before, if you can prevent having the disease in the first place through a better a lifestyle, you know, healthy food, exercise, that will, in the long run, have a greater impact on society than trying to treat the disease once it's started. So I think, like ever before, prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Thank you both very much for speaking with us this World Heart Day, Professor Dr. Pilar Lozano and Professor Mark Mercola on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.